Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. We're going to continue our study here in 2 Corinthians this morning. We're down at verse 4. Down at verse 4. If you'll look back to verse 3, however, just make sure that we get our context. Paul says here, "But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." We have talked extensively about that verse in the last past weeks and so forth, and you can see Paul's great concern for the spiritual well-being of the Corinthians here, that their minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. And he's going to tell you at verse 4 the three different avenues by which the adversary, in his subtle tactics, seeks to corrupt the mind of the believer from the simplicity that is in Christ. That is, he uses another gospel, another Jesus, another Spirit, and another gospel. Look at verse 4. "For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another Spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him." To bear with him is to put up with him, that you're allowing these guys in your midst, you're allowing them to teach you, you're sitting under their teaching, and hence they're corrupting your minds from the simplicity that is in Christ. And so really we're at verse 4. We started verse 4 last week, and we mentioned that you can, not because this is original with me, I remember reading this in a tract by, I think it was William R. Newell, a tract he wrote a number of years ago. He's, of course, with the Lord now, but it was entitled, "Which Gospel is the Gospel?" Or maybe it was entitled "Paul's Gospel." But he makes the point that you can determine anyone's gospel, whether or not it's the right gospel, by one simple test. And that is, does it match Paul's gospel? And boy, that's a true and a simple statement, is you can determine whether or not anybody that you're listening to, whether or not they're preaching to you the right Jesus, the right Spirit, and the right gospel, simply put, by whether or not it matches the Jesus that Paul preached, the Spirit that Paul preached, and the gospel Paul preached. And if it doesn't, then it's not the right one. And you can see from our context here that Paul's concern is that the subtle tactics of the adversary is going to be to come along and preach a Jesus, a Spirit, and a gospel that doesn't match exactly the one that Paul preached. And if we sit under the ministry, if we listen to the teaching of someone who preaches that another Jesus, another Spirit, and another gospel, it is going to have a corrupting effect on our thinking about our identity in Christ. It's going to have a corrupting effect on the mind of the believer with regard to the simplicity that is in Christ. And so as we talked about last time, this issue of another Jesus, we spent the whole time last week speaking about this issue of another Jesus. What is that? And who is that? And briefly, let me just mention that Paul is not talking about, when he says at verse 4, if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, he's not talking about an invented Jesus or a Jesus that has nothing to do with Scripture. He's not talking about a Jesus of Eastern, you know, meditation type stuff. Rather, he's talking about a Jesus that is scriptural, biblical, but not dispensational. And of course, that would be preaching Jesus according to the Kingdom Prophetic Program, as though that is what God is doing today. And I tried to emphasize several different points, but let me just repeat two of them. Number one, the Jesus that Paul preached is the same Jesus as prophesied in the Old Testament and recorded in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It's the same person. He says, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David. So it's the same Jesus that you're reading about in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But Paul says, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. It's some new information about the same person. It's not a different Jesus in the sense of that there's no connection to him being the son of Abraham and the son of David. Okay? It's not an invented Jesus. It's not a spurious Jesus. It's not a Jesus that has no connection with the Bible. Paul's, at verse 4, his concern about another Jesus is not an invented Jesus. It's the Jesus of the Old Testament kingdom prophetic program, but it's not preaching Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. The Jesus that Paul preached, Paul takes that same Jesus that you read about in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and he declares that he has some new information about the same person. So, number one, remember that Paul's warning here about another Jesus, it's not another in the sense of an invented Jesus, but it's another in the sense that it's not preaching Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. Number two, Paul isn't saying that it's wrong to preach about the kingdom prophetic program. Indeed, Paul says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That's all of it. Genesis through Revelation. You want to study all of the Word of God. So Paul is not objecting to preaching the fact that Jesus Christ did come as Israel's Messiah. That he is the seed of Abraham and the seed of David. That he is the prophesied one. Paul's not objecting to that. That's not his concern. His concern was that the Corinthians were being put back under that former program as though that is what God is doing today in the dispensation of grace. That's what produced the corruption in their mind about the simplicity that is in Christ. The believers in this dispensation, they're in a different city. They're in a city called Simple. The believers in the kingdom prophetic program, they're going to be in a city as well, but that city is called the New Jerusalem. That's a different city than the simplicity, than the simple city. Okay? So Paul is not objecting in this verse when he talks about him that cometh preacheth another Jesus. He's not objecting to teaching, for example, the gospel accounts, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We teach all the Bible, right? But he is concerned about teaching that program, the kingdom prophetic program, as though that's what God is doing today, and therefore as though that's what the believers should be following today. Friends, if you're going to follow what God is doing today, you need to follow the Apostle Paul as he followed Christ. You need to follow the doctrine that the risen and ascended Lord Jesus Christ gave to the Apostle Paul for this dispensation. If you don't follow Paul as he followed Christ, and instead you try to follow Christ according to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, number one, it's impossible to do, first of all. But if you try to do that, even though it's impossible to do, but if you try to do that, friends, that's going to have a corrupting effect on your mind from the simplicity that is in Christ. Okay, so we talked about that last time. I don't want to go through all that again. We have two more issues to deal with in this verse, because he not only says, verse 4, for if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus whom we have not preached, here we go, or if you receive another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted. We find out there's two more issues that Paul's concerned about here. These other two issues will have a corrupting effect on the believer's mind from the simplicity that is in Christ. That is another spirit and another gospel. And we want to talk about both those today if we can. That's the objective, okay? Notice with me, if you would, again at verse 4. Notice the wording here. It says, for if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted. We mentioned again last time that the way to determine whether or not the Jesus that you're hearing about, the spirit that you're hearing about, the gospel that you're hearing about, whether or not it is the right, the correct Jesus, spirit, and gospel, it's the standard is given to you right in the verse. It is the Jesus whom we have not preached, another spirit which ye have not received, another gospel which ye have not accepted. If you can determine from Paul's epistles the Jesus that he preached, then you have the standard by which to measure any Jesus that anybody preaches. If you can determine what spirit it is that the Apostle Paul, and by the way, notice spirit is little s there. That's going to be important, okay? If you can determine what spirit it is that the Apostle Paul delivered to the Corinthians and hence which they received initially, then you know whether or not it, you know, matches, whether it's the right one. If you can determine which gospel that these Corinthians initially received, then you can determine which one is the right gospel. Okay, so the verse gives you the standard by which to measure anyone's Jesus, spirit, and gospel. All right, now, as I mentioned, you can see that spirit, when he says that, or if you receive another spirit, spirit there is little s, not capital S. Did you notice that? So he is not talking exclusively and primarily about the Holy Spirit, although that without question is involved in the statement. Damning. It's just you can see when it says if we receive another spirit, it's little s there, that he's not talking specifically about the Holy Spirit, but rather what the Holy Spirit is doing today in this dispensation of grace. So that's why, I mean, you can't really separate them. I don't want to just blankly say he's not talking about the Holy Spirit in the sense of there's no part here. Obviously there is. But the fact that it's little s there, Paul is talking about what the Holy Spirit is doing today, the nature of the relationship between the believer and God by way of the Holy Spirit. Let me give you a parallel verse, and I think that this will help us to appreciate why he uses little s there. Look over to same book, 2 Corinthians 3, verse 17. And you're going to see both issues in this verse. The Holy Spirit himself personally, the Holy Spirit, and what he's bringing. The Holy Spirit and the relationship. Look at verse 17. It says, "Now the Lord is that Spirit," notice capital S, "and where the Spirit," capital S, "of the Lord is," here it is, "there is what? Liberty." That's, you follow what I'm saying? In other words, the relationship to the believer, the relationship that the believer enjoys with God today by means of the Spirit, capital S, is one of liberty, little s. I know liberty isn't spelled with S, okay, I understand that. But I want you to see that Paul is conveying that this relationship where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, the liberty of grace, the Spirit, little s, that the Holy Spirit, big S, brings to the believer is a relationship of liberty. It's a relationship of grace. It's exactly the opposite of bondage. It's exactly the opposite of legalism. So remember that verse there. If you go back to 2 Corinthians 11, you'll see it in the context once again. Look at 2 Corinthians 7, verse 20. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 20. He says, "For you suffer if a man," watch this, "bring you into bondage, if a man devour you, if a man take of you, if a man exalt himself, if a man smite you on the face." Okay, what is the Spirit, little s, in verse 20, that this man is bringing these Corinthians under? That's right, it's the spirit of bondage, little s. Okay, this, the man, at verse 20, he's identified them at verse 13, 14, and 15, who they are and what kind of message they preach. But that message that they're bringing, it brings with it a spirit, little s, of bondage, being devoured, being smitten on the face. You see what I'm saying? So when you go back to verse 4, when Paul says, or if you receive another spirit which ye have not received, the reason it's the little s there for not primarily the Holy Spirit, but what he brings, is that this false message brings with it a spirit, little s, a relationship, little s, of bondage, being devoured. That's what it brings with it. The essence, the relation. In other words, let me say it a different way. In that message, in that false message, that corrupting message, the believer is put back under the law, back under bondage. And hence, in that situation, in that relation here, look over to Romans chapter number 8. Look over to Romans chapter number 8. Look at verse, I'm going to start at verse, oh my, you can read the whole chapter, but Romans chapter number 8, the Apostle Paul speaks extensively about the Holy Spirit, capital S. And in speaking extensively about the Holy Spirit, capital S, Paul conveys the Spirit, little s, that the Holy Spirit, big S, brings and establishes in the believer in their relationship to God. So, for example, look over to verse 13. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. There's the relationship. There's what the believer experiences by means of the Holy Spirit. There's that little s as well as the big s. Okay? For as many as are led by the Spirit, big S, of God, they are the sons of God. There's a reference to our sonship position and identity in Christ, and hence little s Spirit, the Spirit of what the Holy Spirit brings. Verse 15, for ye have not received the Spirit. Notice this little s there. Ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. We've not been put back under the law. The message that God the Holy Spirit brings today through the ministry of the Apostle Paul is not a message that puts the believer back under bondage. That's not the Spirit that the Holy Spirit brings and produces. Rather, look at verse 15 again. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the Spirit of adoption, capital S, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. That Abba, Father is a description of this tremendous sonship relationship that we have with the Father, and hence that the Spirit, little s, of what the Holy Spirit brings, big S. You see that? The relationship, the Spirit of what the Holy Spirit is producing today is a spirit of liberty, a spirit of grace, a spirit of sonship the Holy Spirit brings. You see that? So Paul's concern is about the Corinthians putting up with, being willing to sit under, to listen to another preacher or preachers that come along and preaching about the Holy Spirit, but the result of that other Holy Spirit, the result of that other message is to put these Corinthians back in bondage. Hence, it is bringing a different spirit, little s. It's producing a different result. It's producing a corruption process. Let me say it this way, again, because I don't know if I'm making this clear or not. But if we come along and speak about God, the Holy Spirit, and we speak about it, about the Holy Spirit in the sense that you get saved when you believe the gospel, but then you have to keep the law to perform. Well, now what I did is I just brought a conflicting message to you. I brought it says it was a message about God, the Holy Spirit, but what I brought in saying that message was a message of bondage, and that is not how God, the Holy Spirit, is working in the believer's life today. If I was to say something like this, that we're going to come, well, I'll tell you another example. It's just the whole issue of the tongues movement and the intervention movement. They say, well, God, the Holy Spirit, if you're walking by faith and God, the Holy Spirit's moving in you, then God will have you speak in tongues today. And that just isn't true. If God, the Holy Spirit's working in you, then everything in your life's going to be wonderful. Everything says they're talking about God, the Holy Spirit. You have to listen to the essence of the message that preacher is claiming to be delivering. If they're preaching about the Holy Spirit, but the result of their message is putting you under bondage, putting you under the law, friends, then it's a different spirit, little S, as well as a different spirit, big S. The Spirit of God today, the Holy Spirit, is not dealing with the believer on the basis of performance, on the basis of keeping the law, on the basis of trying to obey the Ten Commandments. Rather, the Spirit of God today has seated the believer. In fact, the Holy Spirit is the seal, and the Spirit of God today leads the believer to enjoy the Abba Father relationship that we have to the Father. Turn back with me over to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and tell me if you find any joy in this verse. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 20. We read this verse a couple times already over the last few weeks. He says, "For ye suffer if a man bring you into bondage, if a man devour you, if a man take of you, if a man..." That these Corinthians are being brought under is that spirit, little s, of bondage. And Paul is going to have a corrupting effect on the believership to the simplicity that is in Christ. There is no simplicity in verse 20 at all. Do you see any simplicity there? There's bondage, there's being devoured, they're being taken from, they're being taken advantage of, there's somebody's exalting themselves, they're being smitten on the face. You see that there? So, when Paul says again at verse 4, if you receive another spirit, when you preach Paul's message today, included in that message is a clear explanation of what the Holy Spirit is and is not doing, and what is being produced in the life of the believer as the believer enjoys our Abba Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, today. Once again, look back at 2 Corinthians 3. Look back at 2 Corinthians chapter number 3. Look at this. He says, "Now the Lord..." Verse 17. "Now the Lord is that Spirit, And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Liberty. That's the Spirit, little s, that the Holy Spirit, big S, seeks to bring and produce and have the believer enjoy. God the Holy Spirit will never lead the believer today to God the Holy Spirit today will never lead the believer to live under the law. You have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, Romans 8 says, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Our relationship to the Father today is a relationship under the liberty of grace, in which we speak to our Father as Abba, Father, dear Father. The only other person in the Bible ever to address the Father that way is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he addressed him, it's recorded there when he's in the garden, Abba, Father, my dear Father. There's no legalism in that type of relationship. There's no condemnation in that type of relationship. It's a relationship of joy and peace and pouring out your heart and your soul to our dear Abba, Father. A relationship of confidence. Look how Paul says it over in the book of Ephesians, chapter number 3. Look at the practical aspect of this relationship over in Ephesians 3:11-12. 11:12 of chapter 3, he says, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now watch this. In whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the our relationship to the Father as sons. Our sonship status. Our relationship to the fathers as heirs of God and joint heirs of the Lord Jesus Christ is one that we have the great privilege and should experience and enjoy the liberty we have in Christ and enjoy this boldness and this access that we have to the Father by the faith of Christ. We can come with confidence to the Father by the faith of Christ. Spirit that you are under is a spirit of bondage, legalism, fear, torment, conditional acceptance. Then, friends, you have received another spirit. And you need to come back and receive the spirit as preached by the Apostle Paul, the Apostle of the Gentiles, for this dispensation of God's grace. Look with me back over to 2 Corinthians chapter number 11. The next issue Paul deals with here, 2 Corinthians 11 verse 4, the third issue that he's concerned with, the third avenue of attack that the adversary in his subtlety will use to seek to corrupt, to produce the corrupting effect in the mind of the believer is, of course, as Paul says, another gospel. You can see at the end of verse 4, he says, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. Friends, just like we need to be on guard when listening to Jesus so that we can make sure it's the right Jesus, just like we have to be on guard when someone is preaching about another spirit, so we can make sure it's the right spirit, bringing the right message about liberty and grace and our sonship and identity in Christ, so too we have to constantly be on guard to make sure that when we're listening to the gospel that somebody is preaching, that this is a gigantic subject all in and of itself. When Paul says, if he that cometh preacheth another gospel, gospel, look over to the book of Galatians, chapter number 1. It comes as a surprise, and indeed as a shock to many people, when you tell them that in gospel, it comes as a shock to some people. They think you're a heretic. They think you're nuts. They think you're blaspheming. But when you study, in particular in the New Testament, you find that there are a minimum, and this is the bare bones minimum, friends, there's a minimum of 4 different gospels when you read from Matthew through Revelation. And really, if you're going to read all the way to Revelation, there's going to be at least 5 different gospels, okay? So if there are more than one gospel in the New Testament, I'm talking about in the Bible. I'm not talking about some gospel that has no connection at all with the Bible. I'm talking about a gospel that is biblical and scriptural. Not some invented gospel, not some Eastern meditation type stuff, not some New Age type gospel. I'm talking about a gospel that is biblical and scriptural. And there are at least 5 different biblical, scriptural gospels in the New Testament from Matthew through Revelation, okay? There's the gospel of the uncircumcision. There's the gospel of the circumcision. There's the gospel of the grace of God. And then there's the everlasting gospel. That's just 5 right there, other than that. But I'm saying that, you know what? When Paul says in that verse, if he that cometh preacheth another gospel, he's not talking about an invented gospel. He's not talking about a gospel that has no connection with the Bible. He's not talking about some Eastern meditation or New Age gospel. He's talking about a gospel that's scriptural and biblical. It's just not the gospel for this dispensation of the grace of God. Look with me over to the book of Galatians in chapter number 1. Galatians in chapter number 1. He says at verse 6 here, he says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. We'll come back to this in just a moment, but let's read down to verse 9. Which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Listen, I hope you realize how serious of an issue this is to God, the Holy Spirit, who is the author of Scripture. I understand Paul's the human author, but God, the Holy Spirit, is the divine author of Scripture. And God, the Holy Spirit, through the pen of the Apostle Paul, makes it very, very clear that he is quite concerned, and he's paying attention to, not the right gospel for this dispensation. If it doesn't match the gospel that Paul preached, then it is another gospel. It's the wrong gospel. And twice he says, let him be accursed. Let him be accursed. Twice he says that. That's God the Holy Spirit through the pen of the Apostle Paul saying that. Friends, those two statements right there ought to cause us as believers to be ever on guard and so careful to make sure that we're not only preaching the right gospel, but that we're listening to the right gospel. You don't discount that. Don't just throw those verses out and say, well, they're not that important. Evidently, it is important to God, the Holy Spirit, the fact that he would say, let him be accursed. He says it twice. That tells you that God is absolutely interested in, not just casually interested in, but absolutely interested in the gospel that we proclaim today. And if it doesn't match the gospel Paul preached, it is another gospel. And if the gospel you're preaching doesn't match the Paul's gospel, friends, you better change it to match Paul's gospel. And if you're not going to change it, that verse says, let him be accursed. He says, if any man, it doesn't matter who you are, it doesn't matter how big the preacher's name is, how many books he's written, how many seminaries he's been teaching at, how many doctorate degrees and professor degrees he has. It doesn't matter how big his church is, how much money he makes, how much television time he gets. Listen, friends, none of those things matter. What matters is the gospel that I preach, the gospel that you preach, the gospel that any man preaches, if it doesn't match the gospel Paul preached, then it's not the gospel for this dispensation of the grace of God. That is ever so clear in the verse, and it obviously carries pretty big consequences. Let him be accursed, he says at verse 8. Let him be accursed, he says at verse 9. Now go back with me to verse 6 here. Paul says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. These people, the Galatians, unfortunately, these were saved people. Paul clearly led these people to the Lord, into the grace of God and so forth, and they left him. He says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you. That's Paul that called them into the grace of Christ. He called them through the message, through the message he's preaching. Not Paul. Listen, there's nothing divine about Paul at all. Okay, Paul's just a man like you and me. But he is the apostle of the Gentiles. And the Lord Jesus Christ did commit to his trust the revelation of the mystery for this dispensation in which we live, the dispensation of the grace of God. And he's out there preaching that message. And by preaching that message, he's inviting people. He's calling people into the grace of God. And these people got saved. And then they left it. They left and went off to some other gospel, which is not another, he says. You can see, go over to chapter 3, you'll see what's happening here. And I trust that you've read Galatians before, so you're not in the dark about all this. Look what he says at chapter 3, verse 1. He says, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth crucified among you? This only what I learned of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? You see that? These guys got saved by grace through faith, and now they've been bewitched to go back to the law. See what's happening there? When Paul says that I marvel that you're so soon removed from him, Paul's message invites people into the grace of God. It's a calling into the grace of God. You get saved, and you're in the grace of God. And then if you depart from that, the only place to go to is the law. So you wind up leaving that. Now, Paul does say this at verse 7. He says, which is not another. There is not another good news today, friends. There's not another way to be saved. There's not a second alternative gospel in case you don't believe the first one, then go believe the second one. He says at verse 7, which is not another. Heaven is not offering a second choice. Heaven is not offering an alternative gospel to the gospel of the grace of God. God is not saying to the world today, here, believe the blood of Christ. Oh, and if you don't believe the blood of Christ, then I'll figure out some other way to get you in, kind of a thing. See, there is not another gospel, which is not another. But there be some that trouble you. Now watch this. And would pervert the gospel of Christ. Gospel means good news, right? The good news about Christ is, if you'll look to chapter 2 of this book, verse 16, if you want to see the good news that Paul was preaching about Christ, that he terms the gospel of Christ, verse 16, he says in 2:16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, watch this, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. The gospel, the good news about Christ, the gospel of Christ, the good news about Christ that Paul was preached to the Galatians is that a man is not justified by the works of law, but rather by the faith of Christ, by His faithfulness to the Father, by the faith of Christ, by His willingness to go to the cross and die on the cross, shedding His blood for our sins, the Father hence raising Him from the dead 3 days later. A man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. His work on the cross, His shed blood at Calvary, His going to the cross, being made a sacrifice for sins, His going to the cross, Him being made sin for us, Him shedding His blood there on that cross. And the moment that a sinner recognizes that that's Christ dying for my sins, my personal sin, I trust the blood of Christ. The moment a person trusts the blood of Christ, that split second they are saved. They are baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ. They are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. They're forgiven of all their sins. They're made the righteousness of God in Christ. That's the good news of Christ Paul was preaching. That's the gospel of Christ the Apostle Paul was preaching. Look at verse 20 of Galatians 2. I am crucified with Christ. You see that? The gospel of Christ that Paul preached teaches us that we're identified with Christ in His crucifixion. Indeed, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. I am placed into the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the good news of Christ that Paul's preaching out among the Gentiles. And Paul says, listen, look at verse 8 now. Go back to chapter 1, verse 7. He says, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. They take that message about the finished work of Christ, and the way that you pervert that message is you add something to it. Whatever you want, it's something that's added to it. Some addition, such as believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and get baptized, or believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and promise God you'll never sin again. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and make Him the Lord of your life. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and anything that you add to the finished work of Christ is a perversion of the finished work of Christ. It's saying the Lord Jesus Christ's work on the cross of Calvary was and is not enough. And once again, you can clearly see it in the book of Galatians that that's what the Galatians had become bewitched about. They were taken back. By believing this other gospel, which is not another, it's not a legitimate salvation message, it's not what heaven is declaring today, they were being put back under the law. Go back to chapter 3 and verse 2. I just noticed that we're out of time here, but go back to chapter 3 and verse 2. This only what I learn of you, received of the Spirit by the works of the law, by the hearing of faith. What's the answer to that verse? It's by the hearing of faith, by grace through faith. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. They didn't get saved by the works of the law. They got saved by grace through faith alone, in the blood of Christ alone. Now watch the next question. Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? You see, a message that comes along and says, Christ died for your sins, was buried and rose again. If you want to be saved, believe that message and do something else. Anything else. Friends, that perverts the gospel of Christ. It's a false gospel. As soon as you add anything at all to the finished work of Christ as the only means of the believer's justification, by grace through faith alone, in the finished work of Christ alone, the blood of Christ alone, that's enough. As soon as you add anything to that for that believer's that person's justification, or for a believer's sanctification, you just perverted that gospel. And Paul is concerned about that absolutely does have a corrupting effect on the mind of the believer in relationship to the simplicity that is in Christ. Now, we're out of time here. We're over time, actually. We're going to stop here today and pick up here next time. There's several things that we need to look at about this. Let's go ahead and see if anybody has any questions or comments. And if you do, just raise your hand if you have a question or a comment. We'll give you the microphone. We'll try to answer your question. And let me mention again that we will be back on tonight at our regular next live session, 7:30 Pacific Standard Time. We hope you can join us for that as well. We've been talking about the Bible issue, the King James Bible issue, doing some comparison and translations and asking what difference does it make? Do they all say the same thing? So having a real good study on that as well. So hopefully you can join us. All right, well, I don't see any hands up or any questions coming up at this point. I guess what we'll do is go ahead and dismiss the class for now. We certainly want to thank you for being with us, and we trust that the time in the Word of God is always encouraging and edifying for each and every one of us. And remember, as always, not for that we have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your joy, for by faith ye stand. Thanks for being with us. Join us again tonight. Have a great afternoon. Bye-bye now.